Lady to Lady Moxon heads to Kohau Health. Just before we talk about the urgent inquiry through the tribunal, Lady to Lady, what about the meth issue down in Kirikiriroa? Is it similar to what we're witnessing in other parts of the country? Tēnā koe, te tohine, ngā mihi.
Ngā mihi kia koe. I'm not sure what you're referring to there, Dale.
Oh, there's a new, Puarangi is the name of the kaupapa in Kaitaia, but it's a methamphetamine service to tautoko our people who are hooked on that substance. I just wondered whether there are similar challenges in the Waikato as what we're seeing in Muri Whenua.
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge issue, and it's amongst just ordinary people, our ordinary whānau. And it's everywhere, it's rife, and we certainly, something needs to be done about it. And something needs to be done about it within whānau. And yes, and we're looking at different ways in which we can help. But I just don't think that we've got what we need right now. But we'll work on that, Dale, I promise you that.
Tēnā koe. Now, Lady Tū Leiti is a prominent health advocate and claimant to the Y3565 urgent inquiry. This is to do with the total annihilation of Te Tiriti in the health system as the government progresses the treaty principles reform under urgency. Tū Leiti, how do you assess the shift from a legislative duty to give effect to the treaty principles to merely take into account? And what practical changes will this create for Crown decision making?
Well, it's just going to make it easier for those Crown decision makers who are making decisions contrary to what iwi and Māori require or even need. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have to consult. They're not consulting now, and this and that's at give effect to the Te Tiriti. You know, we're still at that stage, and then when they pull all these things out, it just makes it more moikore. And so what we're seeing and what we will continue to see going forward, should this go ahead, having been to the Waitangi Tribunal, you know, our hope is that it won't go ahead. But this government haven't listened to anybody, as we all know, and they've just pushed on through. And that, for me, just... I think if people were there to hear even our iwi saying, because the Crown said that they wouldn't touch the treaty settlements. Well, they may not have touched the treaty settlements, but they're not doing a heck of a lot about them. And that came through very clearly over the last week, the 2 days hearing. And it's actually quite... you know, when we settled for so little in the end because we believed and our elders believed that it was the best thing to do to get it through so that we could get some form of economic base, they still are fighting to have our right recognised. And they're fighting at every single level, not just in terms of whenua, but even our participation in river, you know, the river coordinations and all of that kind of thing. And it just goes on and on and on. So I don't hold out any hope. I just think that they're going to push through whatever they want anyway. And to hell with everybody else is really what's going on there, in my view, Dale.
So do you sense this is wasted energy by taking cases to the tribunal only to have them completely ignored the findings of the tribunal? What does that say to the general public of New Zealand about the effectiveness or not of the tribunal, but more so the ignorance, the arrogance that we're witnessing from the coalition government towards our rights as a people?
Well, you know, it's that whole thing around the coalition government believing that it is has the right to make whatever decisions they want. In actual fact, there was a Professor Joseph who spoke, and he spoke extremely well about the law and the fact that the Crown should be acting honourably, should be acting in good faith, and this is in law, and should be acting like a true partner, really, and they should consult, and they should be talking with Māori. They should be working things through with us. But instead, they've decided that the coalition government is above the law and that is above what we would consider to be good law or honourable law, and have decided that that's the way they're going. But it's not even legal. It's just it's a coalition of the willing, really. It's not even a legal entity or has legal standing. And so, from my perspective, I think that Māori have just been beaten around, and this is the most racist colonial, Eurocentric government they've ever had.
That's what it comes across as if the coalition agreement supersedes all before it. Given the concerns raised by iwi leaders, Tūraiti, and officials about the lack of consultation and increased legal uncertainty, what processes or safeguards should the government adopt to uphold the treaty obligations in law? We're not going to get it from this lot, but for those who are vying to represent off the back of November 7, we're not hearing the strong calls that they will stand up for the treaty as we might expect. What are you making of the rhetoric or lack of coming from opposition parties, seeing as we're not seeming to get any traction from those who have the reins of power now?
Well, that's exactly right. And it's that whole supremacy thing around sovereignty that, that when they're in government, they can just make their own mind up what they want to do or how they want to do it and all the rest of it. And they can't be encumbered by another government coming in. And that's all fine, except for the fact that they use us as the batting rod. They use Māori, our ways of doing co-governance, co-interest. Even they're looking at pulling Māori representation on the local government. On and on it goes. And I think that one of the good things that came out of the hearing was the questioning, really, of the government's honourable ability, if you like, or in terms of honouring the recommendations of the Waitangi Tribunal. And the issue there is that they don't even care. That's what's been coming across. And yet, that the whole point of the Waitangi Tribunal is to whakatika breaches of the treaty. And that's what they've been doing forever and a day. And basically, each government decides whether or not they want to participate or want to take heed of it, or, really, they don't have to. And so they don't. And, what does that say? Where's the justice in that? Where's the whakatika te here in that? Where are those things? And that's the issue that we have, and we always have had in our country with successive governments. And it's the fact that, they take it or leave it. And I think that has to change. I think we need to look at our constitution. We have to look at enshrining our treaty in some way, because the treaty opens up the way for all of us, not just Māori and the partnership, but it does open up that partnership in terms of us. And then, they can take it or leave it. That's what it's been like for the last, 200 years.
Feels like we've been whacked around by our own, both Seymour and, of course, the leader of the New Zealand First Party, Whakapapa Māori, but yet, it seems like they are just joining the pack, which seem to want us all to be cookie cutter people here in New Zealand all the same, and that we're on a level playing field. Well, it's a bit rich, as we know, when some are born into privilege and so many are born into poverty. which is getting worse by the day. In your view, Tūraiti, what specific impacts are these reforms going to have on Māori health outcomes under the Pai Ora, Healthy Futures Act?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, you know, they put the age group age limit up to 58 for bowel screening. And what came out of that was, you know, if it's put up to 58, then there is a likelihood of 273 people dying, Māori and Pacifica people dying, because they weren't screened early enough. And instead of them making a big hoo-ha about that, oh, no, it's okay. We can live with that. That's really the attitude. So if you know, taking away the treaty, we can live with that. We can live with the consequences of that. And so that's just bowel cancer. But you have a look at all the other chronic illnesses that we die of prematurely, and how many people have died from those. I don't even know whether there's enough statistics or even research around all of those things. But it's pretty high. It's pretty high. And that's okay, because, you know, it's to appease the worried well. Okay, that a few Māori and Pacific Island people die. And okay, yes, I give them credit. They went and lowered the age down to 56. And but still, it's 4 years still from where we were at 50, and it's 5 years below 50 that they're doing it in Australia at 45. And that's where we should be sitting, at 45. So our people are not dying needlessly and prematurely and young. And that's really the tragedy of all of this. And so they make these decisions quite independently of speaking with those who have actually suffered it, and those whānau who have suffered it or suffered watching people go through it. And, you know, and it just goes on and on, Dale. And that to me is, they create these policies, they do these things, they create huge harm towards us, and then they have an election and they walk away. And that's all of them. They walk away, and that's not their problem anymore. But hey, it's our problem, and it continues to be our problem. And the Waitangi Tribunal laid it out in their report that was going to be the case, that it wasn't going to get any better by itself. And so the Pai Ora Act was enacted. It was fantastic, because it was the first time such an act had actually taken into consideration the needs of Māori, taken into consideration Te Tiriti or Waitangi properly. I'm not just saying, oh, you know, just a couple of words here and a word here that are meaningless. It really did take into consideration what was going on in our world. And now, you know, basically with the stroke of a pen, they're going to get rid of it.
Tēnā koe. And I can't help but note too, as we go through some serious social challenges, including cost of living rises, and on the 1st of July, you'll be disappointed, but perhaps not surprised, each of our important bills coming into our houses are all on the climb from the 1st of July. It can make for depressing reading on your inbox. Speaking of which too, Health New Zealand is going ahead to scrap Te Whatu Ora, although many in the health sector have been using Te Whatu Ora as the name for Health New Zealand for so long. Another politic of distraction, you'd have to think. Lady Tūraiti Moxon with us, continuing on the challenge and fighting the good fight. But, sometimes it feels like the climb is becoming even steeper. Thank you for your thoughts and time, Te Tuhine. Always a pleasure to host a conversation with you. Māori ora ki a koe, all the best in the battle. Thank you, Tūraiti.
Māori ora. Ka kite.
Tēnā koe, thanks.